We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, God's Plan for Responsibility, a Purposeful Role, from the series Family Fortify, and asks you to consider what God's design for your life might reveal. Now, here's today's program.
Jesus wasn't created, he's always existed. The Holy Spirit wasn't created, he's always existed. The Father wasn't created, he's always existed. But in the oneness of the Trinity, there's a rank and order. No one's more important than the other, but Jesus has always submitted to the Father. The Holy Spirit has always submitted to the Father and the Son, and they all get along in perfect union, and nobody thinks they're better than everybody else, but there's a rank and an order to how things are going to get done. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. I only do what the Father tells me to do. That's why when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, he's saying, Dad, if there's any other way, I want to do it, but not my will, yours be done. Why? Because I'm submitting to you. And when people reviled him, he submitted to his Father. He always has submitted to his Dad. Does that make Jesus any less God? No. And so who's your model, ladies, for submitting to your husband? Jesus. You submit to him in all things, right? Because Jesus is the model of that. And why is that so important? Because a non-spirit-filled woman is unable to do that. A non-spirit-filled woman will want to control, boss, manipulate, all those different things, but not the spirit-filled woman. I'm talking to the women that are wanting to grow in Christ, that are wanting to honor Christ, that are wanting Christ to be for them. And here's the reason. And this is true for both roles, but since we're here, let's just talk about it. Say, what's the benefit of submission? Here, I'll give you four. One is it shows your honor for Christ. The only reason you would do it is because I'm honoring Christ and Christ is the one who's asking me to honor my husband. So every time I honor my husband, I am demonstrating to the Lord that I'm giving you honor. How about this? It unleashes supernatural power. When you live in submission to the Lord and you do what the Lord is asking you to do, so when wives are submitting to the Lord and then therefore they're submitting to their own husbands, it unleashes supernatural power. It allows the Lord to go to work. Because here's the problem. In marriage, we always want to fix each other. Husbands want to fix their wives. Wives want to fix their husbands. When you, as a wife, say to God, I'm uncomfortable with this. I've voiced my opinion. I've shared my opinion. It's going a little different way than I want. But Lord, here's why I'm doing this. Because you asked me to prefer my husband. And you asked me to submit. And you asked me to do that. So I'm asking you to get involved in this situation and help that man. Then God does. But if you say, no, I'm going to control him. I'm going to boss him. I'm going to do this. God's like, okay, I'm going to back up. I'm going to go ahead and let you boss him. Let's see how well that works. And by the way, ladies, just point, husbands don't like being bossed. They don't like being nagged and they don't like being complained to. We don't do well with that. I mean, God knows how he designed men and God knows how he designed women. And by the way, you unleash supernatural power. I've told you the story, I don't know how many times, that when we were going to move to Denver, I was so on my heart, like, if we don't move to Denver and plant a church, I'm being disobedient. If we lose all our money, I don't care. I have to do this. But I'm married and I'm one with my wife. And so I'm bringing her along and we're praying together and I'm talking to her. I'm asking her, am I doing anything unbiblical? Are we missing the mark here? Do you see anything? No. I'm like, well, what's next? I'm like, let's take this next step. Let's go to Denver. Let's go meet some of the people. Let's go see what this could look like. We kept taking steps and she's like, I'm not feeling it. She's like, I'm not hearing it. I don't want to go. My whole family, my friends, everybody, they're all in Central Illinois. Why would we ever want to go there? I'm like, because God wants us to go. She's like, I don't hear it. I said, okay. I said, Lord, you've called us together. So you do a work in my wife's heart. And as Kim continued to pray, and she's very close to the Lord, she called me one day and she's like, I heard the Lord today. And I'm like, cool. What? She's like, well, I don't want to tell you because you're going to hold it over my head. And I'm like, I promise you I won't. She's like, what I heard, and I hate telling you, Chick, I heard that I'm not going to hear what we're supposed to do, that I'm just called to submit to you. And I can tell you, when I heard that, I wasn't on the other end going, yeah. It's not how I felt. I was terrified. Because it immediately sent me back to prayer saying, Lord, are you sure I'm doing the right thing? And are you sure I know what I'm doing? Because if I take my whole family to Denver and this thing tanks, I'm going to look really stupid. So God, you got to help me. Do you understand? Submitting doesn't give your husband control. Submitting puts him in God's hands. And it unleashes supernatural power in your marriage when you submit. That's why it's so important. It also provides freedom for you to live your God-given identity. God gave you as women an identity that you're supposed to live, and it frees you up so that you don't have to do the things that the men are going to do. And by the way, there's 4 points today, and only one of them's for the women. Men, we're going to get 3. And then fourth, it does this. It allows you to trust the Lord's design. He's the one that established marriage. He's the one that created marriage. He's the one that has a plan for marriage, and he's the one that says this is how it works. So I don't feel any need up to be a PR spokesman for the Lord and be like, I know this is really hard, but it's not. It's impossible apart from the Spirit, but it's required of every single wife. Single ladies, listen very, very closely to what I'm about ready to tell you. If you're dating someone and you would say, I would never want them to lead me, this is a good opportunity to break up. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, don't think you can change him. He ain't going to change when you get married. Wives, can I get an amen? I mean, he's not going to change. He's going to be the same. Now, God can mold him and sanctify him and grow. He's going to have the same temperament, personality. He's going to be the same, and it's only going to be exacerbated. So, ladies, when you're looking for a man, say, I don't know if I could ever. Hey, then look for the guy I'm going to describe here in the next 3 points and be willing to submit to him. And why you are? Because you're submitting to Christ. Now, notice this. We got to be really clear on this, really clear on this. It says, wives, be subject to your own husbands. When you're married, you don't have to be subject to everybody else's husband. You're subject to your own husband. Why? Because the husband is the head of the wife. Now, being subject means to submit, to fall under. It's a military term. It means to have rank and order, to obey, all that stuff. Why? Because he's your head. The head is a high status. It's a superior rank. It doesn't mean more valuable or more important. It's just a different order of things. Let me show you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. We can get there pretty comfortably, can't we? Jesus is my head. There's no question about it. And the man is the head of a woman. That makes every feminist mad. And Christ and God is the head of Christ. I mean, that's the order of things. You say, well, why is that? Verse 8 says, for man did not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Remember, women, God created man first. And then God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Why? Because he needs a helper. The boy needs help. That's your role, to help him. And you help him, and there's supernatural power when you're submitted to Christ and you submit to him. In what things do you have to submit to him? Like in what? Well, I love that God makes this super clear. But as the church is subject to Christ, we as a church are subject to him. We're in submission to Christ. So also wives ought to be subject to their husbands in what? Everything. Now, here's why this is important. Because when we do premarital counseling, we're talking to couples and we tell them they're going to become one and it's going to be great. And we start talking about these gender roles and they're like, well, why is that so important? And say, well, there's going to come a time in your marriage when you both love each other and you're listening to each other. And by the way, husbands, I'll talk about this in a minute, but being submissive to your husband, by the way, all this teaching is for the wives. I mean, men, you can just tune out because we're not teaching men how to get your wife to submit. We're teaching wives who are filled with the Spirit how to submit. Do you understand the difference? And here's the deal. If you have a wife, you should listen to your wife. Having a submissive wife doesn't mean, well, she submits and I make all the decisions. That's stupidity. Because what I've found is my wife is right about 95 to 99% of the time when we have an issue. So husbands are listening to their wives, they're loving their wives, they're building their wives, they're encouraging their wives. But sometimes there's an impasse. Not all the time, but sometimes there is. Where are you going to send your kid to school? Well, are you going to move over in that city for this job or this city for that job? Are you going to go to your parents' house or her parents' house? Or who gets to make the ultimate final decision? The man does. How often? Every time.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Plan for Responsibility, a Purposeful Role, from the series Family Fortified, asking you to consider what God's design for your life might reveal. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
Well, are you going to move over in that city for this job or this city for that job? Are you going to go to your parents' house or her parents' house? Or who gets to make the ultimate final decision? The man does. How often? Every time. Every time. Now, that doesn't mean the man abuses that. And if a man abuses that, then a man's going to have massive challenge in his marriage. That's not what I'm saying. But there can come an impasse where, men, you're called to be the leader and you're called to take charge spiritually. And you're called to say, I've heard you and this is where we are, but this is where we're going. And a wife's like, I don't even know if I like that, but I'm submitting to you because I love Jesus. That's how it works. And every premarital couple is like, we'll never deal with that. We'll always agree. Right? I get it. Until you get married. And then there comes those times, and it should be done in love. And I can't think of, I'm even trying to think of these times where I've told my wife, here's what we're doing without. It rarely happens. But if it does happen, men, you're called to be the leader of your family to make those decisions. Now, here's when you don't have to listen to your husband. When it's something that's immoral, if it breaks the law or it goes against God, you never have to do that. If your husband says, we're going to rob a bank together and we're going to make a bunch of money, you can say, no, I'm not getting involved in that. If it involves something immoral in your marriage, not getting involved with that. If it's, you can never go to church again, sorry, I don't have to listen to you. Jesus said I need to be in church. I mean, all those things, anything that goes against Jesus or the moral law or legal law, something like, you don't have to break the law to honor your husband. That's enabling, that's bad. Secondly, let me just say this about submission. Submission does not mean that you submit to abuse. If your husband's beating you, you're not called to submit to that. You're called to bring that forward to pastors and other people so that we can get your family help. It means if he's screaming at you every single night and telling you what a loser you are, you don't submit to that. That's not what this is about. We're talking about spirit-filled families here. You understand? Women are not called to submit to abuse. You understand? And men are not called to be abusers. I'm talking to born-again families. I just got to be clear on that because sometimes when people hear me, they're like, you're just saying women should... No, I'm not. If this is done right, this should elevate all women. This should elevate a family, not destroy it. Amen? So women, I mean, it's so clear. So clear. Well, what's my role in the marriage? Well, submit to Christ, honor the Lord, and then submit to your husband in everything as he's going after Jesus. And just show him honor. Verse 33, it sums it all up in one word. Just respect him. Just respect him. Show him respect. Don't gossip about him. Don't tell all your friends how stupid he is. Don't go do all that stuff. Just respect your husband. It goes a long, long way and puts God at work. You say, well, my husband isn't even a believer. What do I do? 1 Peter 3 and verse 1 says this, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Again, your own husbands, not everybody else's husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won over without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste, which is pure and respectful behavior. Yeah, but my husband's not a godly man. Okay, well, show him what Christ looks like in the way that you submit to him so he sees your holiness in your life, in the way that you love him, even though he knows he's being unlovable. Verse 5 says, for in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. What does it mean to respect him? You can just start calling him Lord. You can practice at home. I'm not going to make you do it at church. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, I can tell you when I walk into home, I mean, Kim doesn't call me Lord Jeff very often, but I. But that's the practice here. Like, why not? Like, why not? If you're really trying to honor the Lord, can you grow in this, ladies, wives? Of course you can. Do you need to be filled with the Spirit in order to do that? Of course you do. Like, this is an impossibility apart from the Holy Spirit in your life, because what we tend to do when we get into this oneness is, if you're not treating me well, I'm out of here. If you're not treating me well, I'm going to tell you you're not treating me well, which, by the way, is okay to tell your spouse and be honest with each other. But we tend to get short with each other, but I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that. I'm not submitting to him. He's not worthy of that. He may not be worthy, but God is worthy of your submission to your husband. And that's your only role in a marriage. And God designed it by your gender. You say, well, I don't want that. I want to be free. Well, until you're married, your daddy is supposed to be that in your life. You're supposed to submit to your daddy until he hands you over to somebody else, or then you submit to that man. That is the way that God designed it. It doesn't always work that way. So now let's get to the men. Women, you can take a deep breath. But the same is true for the men. Living out your role honors Christ. It unleashes supernatural power. It provides you freedom to live your God-given identity. And it gives you the opportunity to trust the Lord's design for you. And I would say this before we get into this, men. If you're married, many of you guys have a lot of titles in the world. You have a lot of education. You have a lot of, initials behind your name. You might have a big title at work. You might be seen as different things. You might have all these accomplishments. If you're a husband, there's no higher title that you wear than being husband. And we don't champion that enough. We think it's like, now that I'm done with all the big things, I'm going home. I got to be a husband. No, it's the most important role you'll ever play. There's nothing more important. And so this is what he tells us. Women, if you think it's hard to do what you do, I think it's just as hard for the husbands to do what they do. And it's impossible apart from the Spirit of God. Here's what he says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, there's a life work. It means you need to choose to suffer and sacrifice without limits when your wife is unlovable. I hear the giggles. Choose to sacrifice and suffer without limits when she's unlovable. When you get married, I don't know what it's like for each person. Everybody's different. Some people, it's bliss for 7 years, and then they hit a road bump. For me and my wife, that first year and a half, it was a killer for both of us. And it's hard. But you think about what Jesus did. How did Jesus love the church? Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, in submission to his dad, comes to the earth in incarnate flesh, trusting his dad to raise him and do all those different things, fulfills the law. And as he begins to minister 3 years before his death, how did the church treat him? They're like, oh, Jesus is here. We love you. You're perfect. We want to do everything you say. No, here's how the church treated him. We hate you. We hate what you're bringing us. We want you dead. We want you crucified. And when they kill you, we're going to be super excited. That's how the church treated him. The church spit on him and mocked him and whipped him and beat him. And sometimes I'm talking to husbands that are having a hard time in their marriage, and legitimately they're having a hard time in their marriage. And my wife's doing this. My wife's doing this. I don't even know what to do. And I'm like, well, you kind of said you wanted to be like Jesus, and you're getting a wonderful opportunity now. You get to love that unlovable sinner like Christ loves her. And you get to show her exactly about the God that you say you serve by loving her when she's unlovable. And by the way, and I'm only saying this from a theological perspective, because we know we're all sinners, right? Every woman in here is a sinner. Every man in here is a sinner, which means every wife is a sinner, which means there's time your wife's going to be unlovable. And you get an opportunity as a husband, because the purpose of your marriage is not happiness, it's holiness, to love her and to suffer for her when she's unlovable. Some people teach this, like, you got to be willing to die for your wife. That's a no-brainer. That's an easy one. If someone's going to hurt my wife, I'd die for her. No problem. It's harder to suffer and go through. How come we have to go through this again and again and again? Because I love her. And then, like we talked about last week, then we go before the Lord. Lord, is there anything in my life you kind of are suffering because of the way I'm acting? And then he downloads all these things about me that I need to change so that I can love my wife even better. It means, guys, this: you love your wife without limits, no matter what. Yeah, but I didn't know she was going to be. I didn't know she would act. I didn't know she was going to say. I didn't know this had happened. Doesn't matter. You get to love her without limits. That's what it means to be a husband. That's what it means to be a man. That's what it means to be godly. You, because of what Christ did for you, you get to model that on an ongoing way for your wife. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Even after Jesus has risen from the dead and is in heaven and is coming back for sure, how's the church doing right now? Is everybody that's born again, like, honoring the Lord every day, all day long, just showing him? How about this? Let's make it more. Are you doing it every single day, all day long, just showing the Lord how perfect you? No, you're not. And what's he doing for you? He's interceding for you all the time. He's praying for you. He's blessing you. He's showing favor in your life. He's helping you grow. He's loving you even when you're unlovable. So men, we get to do the same for our wives. Number two is this. Verse 26, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. It means you choose to sanctify and shield your wife by modeling a holy life. See, the beauty of the church is, I know how, I'm more aware of my sin than anybody else's. I'm more aware of how deep the depravity goes in my own heart. And I'm amazed that one day when I meet Jesus face to face, he's going to take me and he's going to present me before his Father. And he's not going to present me and say, Dad, I did a pretty good job with him and I got some of the wrinkles out. No, he's going to present me spotless, faultless, blameless, excited, with exceedingly great joy before the Father. And in the same way, what do husbands get to do? You get to do that for your wife. You get to live a holy life. Now, some wives I've heard nag, my husband doesn't do Bible studies, my husband doesn't pray, my husband doesn't do this. No. Guys, don't get caught up in all the things you got to do, like it's a task. Because for guys, we think task. Now I got to do Bible studies. Now I got to do this. Now I got to do tuck-in time at night. I got to study the Bible. I got to take a 2-hour class. That's not what it means. It means, would you model a holy life in front of your wife? Is she able to see in you that you seek Jesus? Is she able to see in you the way that you're spiritually growing? Is she able to see in you the way that you're changing over time and you're growing and perhaps now you're more tender than you used to be? Perhaps now you handle business deals different than you used to handle them? Perhaps now you talk to the children different than you used to? She's watching an ongoing growth in your life with your family. She sees it and she's attracted to it because she says, if God can change that man, he can change anybody, and she's excited about it. Growing your wife in holiness doesn't mean that you're such an awful husband that she has to pray to God all the time and she's growing in holiness because she can't stand you. That's not growing in holiness. Growing in holiness is because she's with you, she loves Jesus more. Because she's with you, she's pursuing Jesus more. She's being encouraged. She's being built up. She's being showcased. She's being shielded. Now listen, you get two sinners together, wives, you're more familiar with your husband's weaknesses and sin than anybody. Husbands, you're more familiar with your wife's weaknesses and sin than anybody. I mean, you live together, you're just gonna know that stuff. But what it means as a husband is you don't showcase the weakness and the blemishes to all your friends. You don't say, well, my wife does this, it drives me. No. You talk about your wife in such a way that everybody's jealous and wishes they had a wife like you. You exhort, you speak highly of, you showcase. It's what the guy in Proverbs 31 does. When the children rise up and call their mom blessed, he said, yeah, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. What's he saying? I got the best wife on the planet. You hear me talk about my wife? I think I have the best wife on the planet. If you're a husband, you should think that your wife is the best wife on the planet, and you should tell other people about it, and you should tell her about it, and she should know that you feel that way.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Plan for Responsibility, a Purposeful Role, from the series Family Fortified, asking you to consider what God's design for your life might reveal. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.